Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are
the Iggy Parents.
Welcome back. It's been...
Yeah, so there has been no break for the podcast, but we have not recorded in like a month or so.
Yeah, I was like, it's been a while since we've recorded.
We had a two-part episode that went up that we recorded. We had a live episode that we did right when Phoebe came home. And then we've been moving.
Which is the topic of this episode. Moving during a pandemic with a dog and a puppy.
A very, very small puppy.
What were we thinking?
Well, it all kind of happened in the, not the heat of the moment, but in a little unexpected way that we have been planning for a while to get Phoebe. And it just happened that right when she came home was finally when we decided not to stay where we were.
I know we made the decision to bring Phoebe into our lives, obviously before she came home. So I think between choosing to bring Phoebe home and Phoebe actually coming home, that span of time is when the idea of leaving Toronto, leaving our big city, had really started to become desirable. So it's 2020, before 2020, or before March 2020. There's nothing we would have wanted more than to live somewhere that's busy.
So we lived in Toronto and we're planning to move to New York City.
Because we're theater actors, you know that. We also enjoy going to restaurants and we take fitness classes or teach fitness classes. We love going to museums. Last year, Ryan got me a membership to the AGO, which is...
Art Gallery of Ontario.
Yes. Our local / Toronto art gallery. And...
We've been once.
Yes. We went for that special moment when it first reopened after the pandemic, that it was only open to members. So that's kind of the only moment that we felt safe to go.
After the first wave of the pandemic.
Right. After the first lockdowns and, and that. And I'm like, it's so sad that we have to say it's the first lockdown because here we are again, wave two. Woo! But that's kind of what this episode's going to be about. So if you're tired of hearing about COVID, I'm so sorry. But we just wanted to explain where we're coming from.
Right. And if you see our Instagram posts are now tagged in Brantford instead of Toronto, this is why.
Honestly, there's nothing we wanted more than to live in a city, whether that was Toronto or we had plans to move to New York in fall of 2020. And now everything's changed.
City life completely suited us even as dog parents because the Italian Greyhound community in Toronto is really great. And we would go and do dog meetups. We would go and walk on the trails. The off-leash trails.
Honestly, some of the strongest relationships I've had this year are with Iggy parents and friendships that we've made online turning into real connections in life. I think Adelaide just pooped, which is ironic because we're going to be talking about potty training a little later today.
Yay.
JK, Phoebe's a farty baby.
So having a backyard was never a priority for us before now because socializing with people and other dogs was so great for us and for Adelaide, but now in 2020, it feels much more desirable.
And potty training for Italian Greyhounds is pretty great. Indoors, they don't like going outside anyway in the winter. I really didn't think that we'd want a backyard. All of the reasons why we love Toronto and New York are just, honestly, they're no longer there. As theater performers, it's heartbreaking to see Broadway closed, but we know that with the nature of this virus, it's just not safe for the public to gather in this way, that we have to accept certain things that are going to change with our lifestyle, our work.
It's even challenging with our side hustles because fitness classes or retail or food delivery or Uber driving.
All of the different jobs we've had.
Yeah, we're not comfortable doing them anymore.
Right. And I can't tell you how many times the protocols have changed working in fitness. Mm-hmm. We've closed the studio twice, both first wave and now second wave. And even before we shut down the first time, we limited our class sizes. We had heightened cleaning protocols. When we reopened, we had to wear masks the entire workout, heightened cleaning protocols even more, and still supplemented it with live stream classes. Now we're only running with live stream classes. We're closed again for another 2 months. They said it was 28 days. They packed on another 28 days before the holidays. And I don't know what the future's going to like. So many studios have closed in the community and it's people's livelihoods. It's very upsetting. And I know that it's disappointing, but we've got to adapt.
So in March, we didn't know how long this was going to be going on. And it has been very piecewise, right? You say it's they do it 2 weeks or 28 days at a time and then add more on. So we tried to stay in our apartment for as long as we felt comfortable, but
it's been so gradual that it's hard to pinpoint when we should have moved earlier.
Right.
That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Adelaide was very lonely at the start of the pandemic, which if you've been listening to the podcast every week, you know we had talked about Adelaide being the social butterfly that she is and what our new quarantine routine was. Well, we're back here again. It's second wave, and we feared that Adelaide would struggle with another lockdown. So we also made some changes.
That is basically the reason that Phoebe came home to us. So we were going out to dog parks near the beginning of the pandemic. Or
at the very beginning, we were too nervous.
At the very beginning, it was too cold.
Oh, yeah. It was cold.
Yeah. And then we were too nervous. And then when it got into summer, then we started going to the dog parks and we could see how much Adelaide had missed it.
In the summer months, the primary reason we left the house was to go to dog meetups and trail walks. That felt like the safest, socially distant activity for us. And crazy added benefit, Adelaide would have the best day ever anytime we went for dog meetups.
This sparked an idea for us. What if we could get Adelaide a sibling and then she would always have a friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounded pretty great to us. So we put our names on the list with our breeder for whenever the next litter would be born. And we kept our fingers and toe beans crossed.
Well, Adelaide kept her toe beans crossed.
You didn't keep your toe beans crossed?
Nah, they don't really do that.
Okay. So near the end of the summer, we got the good news that Adelaide's mom and dad were pregnant with another litter of puppies. We knew that come fall and winter, Adelaide would have a forever friend. And if it was too cold to go outside to the dog parks, we would play inside, or as we found out, the pups would just play with each other inside.
Or snuggle.
And they also snuggle.
What could go wrong with this plan, Ryan?
Well, we heard potential of the second wave coming and that it may even be worse than the first wave. So we...
Sounds like a bad episode of Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah. Second winter is coming.
Yeah.
But we never imagined that we would fall out of love with Toronto. But as the numbers climbed and we got more fearful and could really see the potential for not getting to see our families for a very long time, and we're both very close with our families, it felt right to get out of our downtown Toronto apartment. Because we live right off of one of Toronto's busiest streets, so we couldn't leave our unit without putting a mask on to even take out the garbage or go get our mail.
Someone in our complex had COVID-19.
Right, we got a notification, and we couldn't even walk the dogs. There was a few times where I walked Adelaide, and there would be people walking towards me on both sides of the street, like on both sidewalks, and it's really like a trapped feeling, and I really did not like that.
And we lived down the street from a school, so as school had come back, lots of children walking down the street, and I know you're not forced to wear masks outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a requirement here in Canada. But when the streets get so crowded, it does feel a little irresponsible to be so close proximity to people with no extra protection.
Yeah. And we have a tiny dog, which is like a little kid magnet.
Yeah, exactly. What kind of dog is that? Your dog's so skinny. It's cute.
Can I pet them? Here, let's all come up and crowd around you. And
no, 6 feet.
Yeah.
I love it when people stop us on the street. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. It's just during a pandemic, and especially if people don't understand distance, we just appreciate the space. And always asking, of course, can I pet your dog? One of the most important questions if you're ever owning a dog and you walk on busy streets.
So as cases grew and recommendations changed, we even had to cancel our planned dog meetups. And in Canada, well, lots of places, but here we do have an alert app. So, Jess, you want to tell them about your story with the COVID alert app?
Yeah. So this app is designed to tell you if you had an exposure or a potential exposure to COVID. So it works by identifying if you have had 15 minutes near someone who then tested positive, went to go get tested, put it in the app, and then we find out, oh, someone in the last 2 weeks spent 15 minutes in close proximity to you. We don't actually know. I don't think they've told us how close it is, but I think of it kind of like AirDrop on a phone if you've got an iPhone. And there's potential that that person was really close to you. But it depends. Like if you both had masks and you were both distanced outside, maybe you'll be okay. So I actually had this happen to me 3 times in 1 month, the month of October. I had it happen the first time, and I had been teaching fitness classes with masks on, but the nature of the movement and being indoors, poor ventilation, is higher risk than if you were in line at the grocery store not working out. So the actual nature of the physical activity does increase your chances. And this is just information that the health professionals told me when I went to go get tested.
Right, because they ask you all the questions. And
they
then
did
they
like
can
the contact tracing and like, where were you? So that first time it happened, got tested, found out my results, negative for COVID. But I had to cancel all my plans. We had to cancel dog meetups. We had someone who had traveled all the way from Montreal.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Iggy Boreal had traveled all the way. And we're so sad that morning. We actually had Adelaide go on the trip and Ryan and I had to self-isolate. So we stayed indoors and our dear friends, Atlas's parents, Amelia and Ian, took Adelaide for us. We did sort of a no contact drop off.
Mm-hmm. Drop the leash and Adelaide ran right to Amelia.
Yep. And it was great. And we were so thankful. It was a negative result. And honestly, we had been very careful at this point. The only time I was really interacting with anyone was at work, which was teaching. And again, like I said, masks on the whole time. But they did warn me of the risk that physical activity does increase your chances of spreading it or having it transmit to you. So that was the first scare. Second scare happened again. I wasn't teaching as often because classes had been reduced, but I was still teaching in person with the masks on. So that was frustrating, but we weren't in any kind of lockdown yet. So I just had to keep doing what I was doing. And the health professionals told me, if you've got work, keep doing it. Just take all the precautions you can. So this is around the time when Ryan and I thought, you know what? Having to stop our lives every time we get a potential exposure to COVID is getting kind of frustrating. We can't walk our dog outside. We can't go grocery shopping when you're self-isolating. You have to order your food or find creative ways to live your life without leaving the apartment.
The doctor even told us that if Jess's test came back negative, that we still shouldn't go to visit anyone because it might be a false negative, because we were planning to go see my parents and we hadn't seen them for my birthday, just like a couple of weeks before.
I think because of another test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just crazy to think that it all happened gradually. And this is what we were saying about the choice to move, because we thought, okay, like one COVID alert came back negative. Great. We can keep going. Okay. Another COVID alert. Oh, we've had to cancel more plans. We've had to not work. We've had to change our life again. Okay. It's disappointing, upsetting. We'll get through it. Third time, accompanied by rising numbers of cases, accompanied by our government not locking us down. So the chances for more cases just seemed more likely. And we just thought, you know what? Before the government locks us down, why don't we just leave?
So this is how we unexpectedly ended up moving in the middle of a pandemic.
Woo!
With a dog and a 10-week-old puppy.
What a great idea.
That story after a quick break. We wanted to take this moment to tell you more about Adelaide's favorite way to go potty indoors. The doggy bathroom.
A Canadian company, Doggy Bathroom makes a high-quality dog litter box for small dogs that keeps everything in one easy-to-clean space with the option of vertical pee pads for males who lift their leg.
We love how it looks stylish and so much neater than just laying pads on the floor.
Ew.
I know. It's like the worst part of having a pen.
It makes our lives easier cleaning up pee pads and reduces accidents because the girls know where to go potty.
Whether it's in the middle of the night or after a good long play session, they know right where to go.
Doggy Bathroom just came out with colored bases as well. We've got our eyes on a beautiful rose pink one. We've had such success with using the Doggy Bathroom. We're getting another one.
Now we live in a multi-level home. We know having more than one is the perfect fit for us.
You can place your doggy bathroom anywhere in the house, or like us, place it right in the pen setup.
For a discount, use our code Iggy Adelaide, IGGYADELAIDE. I practiced that. You proud?
Doggy Bathroom offers their signature dog litter box, as well as accompanying products like towels, pee pads, and mats.
The best is the Doggy Bathroom starter kit that they have on their site.
We'd love to hear about your potty training stories and if you've got your own bathroom set up too.
We didn't expect to move when we knew Phoebe was coming home, or when we first knew she was coming home, but we basically knew by the time she did come home.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when we made this decision. I think it was just like a week and a half before Phoebe came home.
Yeah.
So if we could have timed this better, we absolutely would have. But as we explained before, everything happened so gradually.
And then all at once.
And then all at once, we just had to make the decision to leave.
When we told our families that we were thinking of leaving, they were not surprised. It's like after Jess got the third COVID alert, they knew that we weren't going to stay.
Get me out of here.
Yeah.
Why am I wasting so much money to live in one of the most expensive places to live in our country when, like we said, all the reasons why we love being in a city are gone, at least for now. And yeah. I'm not saying we're not coming back to Toronto. I do love being a Torontonian. Of course, theater is our livelihood. We love the arts. Being in a metropolitan area is just, you know, what keeps us going, but just not right now.
So our families did open their doors to us and we had the choice to make. So we decided based on location that moving to Jess's parents' house would be best because now Jess can still teach her fitness classes, which she's been doing once a week. I should say virtual fitness classes because she goes into the studio to teach. There's no one actually in the studio, but they have the whole setup. So we drive into town. And recently we decided to make the change that we're not even going to stop at a drive-through for coffee or lunch or anything. Just drive straight there and straight back.
Also, because Toronto is now currently locked down. And that was not the case when we made the decision to move.
Right. We're like, well, I guess they're not going to lock down and we need to make the decision that feels best for us if the government isn't going to change anything.
Right. So maybe we jumped the gun on that, but I'm glad the government followed suit because it really is rapidly growing the case counts and death counts, and it's getting overloaded in our hospitals right now. So
once the decision was made, we put the plan into action. So Phoebe came home on October 31st and our move out date was set for November 16th. Potty training in an apartment was hard enough. But when you add the challenge of packing boxes the entire time Phoebe is trying to learn how to pee and where to go, and everything is changing during that time, things get interesting.
So let's talk about move out day. We wanted to make this as smooth as possible. We were moving in a pandemic. What does that mean? One thing I learned, the moving truck companies are kind of overloaded.
Yes.
So we tried our best to move mid-month and we chose to move on a Monday because we thought that would be the least busy time and kind of the quickest time that we could actually realistically get out of the city. Ryan ordered one of the biggest trucks that they have to offer.
Right, because when we moved into our place, we combined two apartments into one and got new furniture even since then. So I was nervous about fitting it all in.
And honestly, the stuff for the dogs.
On the day, we had two separate problems. So one problem was that they sent us to a different location. The other problem was that they didn't have the size of truck that we wanted because the one that was supposed to be for us had broken down the day before and they didn't know. So we were, first of all, delayed. Second of all, had to drive farther. Third of all, then had to fit more into a smaller truck.
What a day.
So luckily, we had done three trips with the car.
And we talked about this if you watch our vlog.
About moving. We did trips with small boxes that we could fit in the car so that there was room in the moving truck for the big furniture. And we packed it right to the back door. So it was
packed to the brim.
Yeah, it was good that we had done those extra trips.
Yeah, I think if we hadn't taken those extra trips, one, we wouldn't have fit everything into the smaller truck. Two, the girls wouldn't have been as well behaved as they were. So our first trip, something we're going to talk about with our Potty Training 2.0 episode, and we'll get into briefly in today's episode, Poopgate 2020. And if we hadn't practiced traveling with the girls first, we wouldn't have known.
That could have happened on moving day. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine Poopgate 2020 on moving day? Oh my God. So I'm grateful that we sort of did a few investigative trips before we actually moved. And let's talk about the game plan for the day. So we had this moving truck already presented a problem, not big enough. Two, our game plan was to get my dad and my brother to help with the moving. So they brought a car, Ryan had a car, and we had the moving truck. So that's three vehicles that we could pack. So when the truck was delayed, we decided to use the time to pack the other cars. This meant Jess was on dog duty. All day, my job was to make sure that the dogs were okay.
Right, because they couldn't run out of the apartment. They couldn't, like, if we were moving boxes, we had to make sure they were in the pen at the right time or somehow blocked off from getting out into the hallway because then they're fast and hard to catch.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it happened once. Fail on my part.
Oh, I forgot.
Adelaide followed my dad on the way out the door, and right. I didn't realize that he was leaving the door open, but she loved running down the hallway. So after being cooped up all day with me and being in the crate for much more time than she's used to, Adelaide blew off some steam running down the hall. But we have a lot of dogs that live in our building, especially even on our floor. I'm thinking there was a Chihuahua, there's a Doodle, there's a 2 schnauzers down the hall. Someone had just gotten a golden retriever puppy. Oh my God.
I was going to say most people on our floor feels like.
I think like 85% of people on our floor had a dog. I knew that I had to watch the girls carefully and make sure they were getting their potty breaks and that they were eating as well. But we wanted to time the food because we learned this on the trips, the practice trips. We mm-hmm. wanted to time the food as well so that the girls weren't eating immediately before the hour and a half trip with the moving truck. So we fed them breakfast and lunch, and then our moving trip happened in the evening. So
I think we fed them when we got here.
Or we fed them when we got home.
We did
yes.
dinner here.
We've learned that Adelaide's appetite has increased since Phoebe's come along. I find that she gets more excited about mealtime. And I wonder if that's just because Phoebe really likes food. So Adelaide's picking up on that. So with the game plan for the day getting delayed and having to divvy up all of the responsibilities, I think that it worked out for the girls. What do you think, Ryan?
I think so too. And I think we had a good division of labor, that we had people moving boxes in and out. We had certain people packing certain vehicles. Your brother was kind of in charge of the moving truck and dad was in charge of his car. And we had already done our car, so I knew what was in there already. You were in charge of the dogs, but you also kind of organized stuff in the apartment for us and made sure stuff was ready to be moved.
Helped to clean as well.
Mm-hmm. So I would have maybe relied less on the moving truck company. Try to make sure.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just because of the pandemic mm-hmm. or we've heard that this moving company is notorious for this. So maybe we just find a new company.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had a reservation guarantee. So it ended up being a good deal for the inconvenience.
Get those dollars back, babe.
Yeah.
Let's get talking about potty training and how that relates to the move.
So every time we have come to visit here, we have a pen set up upstairs in Jess's parents' room. And then we have had a crate or a pee pad or something set up kind of on the main floor where we would hang out in the family room. But now, because we are set up, our basement, our somewhat apartment, is the basement level. The main floor is where we spend a lot of our time, where the kitchen is, where the big TV is. And then upstairs is kind of where we spend the evening and we watch the news up there always. We have reason to be on all the floors, so we need to have some sort of potty, pen, crate set up for the girls everywhere, which is adding some extra complications. So for a while, the pen was set up in the middle of the living room, and you had to kind of watch the TV through the bars of the door. And
depending on where your seat was in the living room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had to, like, rock, paper, scissors for who got to who got to watch the TV through the jail bars.
I watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2 through the jail bars.
And it has also added some, not extreme extra cost, but we did get some more of the reusable pee pads.
Yes, they're peeing more often on a single pad than we're used to.
Yeah, I was also thinking maybe we should even get another pack. This is a little, a little thing for you, just because we have three.
Let me just get my grocery list ready.
Because we have three floors, three spots that they need them, and we have 6 pads right now. So we've gotten rid of the first ones, or that we've taken them out of rotation. We haven't got rid of them, but we've gotten rid of those ones because they seem to be less absorbent and maybe even leaking through, which is
It's okay if it's in the doggy bathroom.
Right. Or even on hardwood floor where it's easier to clean up, but on carpet. Mm-mm.
Not so cute. No, that's been a big challenge as well, moving to somewhere that is both a combo of hardwood floors and carpet.
And concrete down here.
And concrete and ceramic tile in the kitchen. Like, yeah. There's all sorts of surfaces here. So that's been a new challenge, and we're working our way around that as well.
Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling like if we had, like, a big accident, like messy poop, that we would have to change the pee pad more often than we would be able to.
Right. We're used to having, like, 6 pads for 1 doggy bathroom. So that meant we would have 4 extras even if we had to change over. Mm-hmm. We'd have one dirty one, a clean one to replace it, and four extras. God forbid someone has runny poop.
Right. To have that many, we'd have to have like 20 pee pads.
And it honestly feels like that right now.
Yeah. So
we're still figuring it out.
I think we need at least two more.
Yeah.
I think it has not felt like that because we still have the old ones. But we can't rely on those ones anymore. So anyway.
So when we were still in Toronto, the girls were doing really well for the first few days of Phoebe coming home because everything was normal. We had our normal pen set up. We had no boxes. Everything was pretty chill. Phoebe was doing really well with her potty training. Then comes in boxes. We start piling up the boxes. We actually had some near their pen because that was our open spot. And I think that potentially it had two problems. One, it was a spot where Phoebe would go to run and hide, which is prime moment for a secret poop. Two, I think maybe sometimes it was a deterrent for them to go into their crate just because everything looked different. It was kind of scary. There were big boxes around and these dogs are very tiny. So it was both a place to hide and both something to be afraid of, which I think were a perfect storm for accidents. So Phoebe probably only got 1 week of good potty training in. And then everything went to shit. But now that we're settled, we're starting to slowly unpack our boxes. We're still having trouble, but I think that we're getting more into a groove. We're able to notice when Phoebe's sniffing. Now we have more help as well. We've got my two parents and my brother lives at home. So that's three extra people to notice if Phoebe's going to have an accident. And like we said, we've got three setups now. So one doggy bathroom, pads on the ground in the living room, and then a pen with pee pads in it on the third level of the house. We're going to get into more details when we talk about potty training 2.0, but the transition from going to a small apartment to a big house is something we've never experienced as Iggy parents. So we're learning just as much as they are. Our lifestyle is going to have to change.
Actually, now that I think about it, we actually have four potty setups. We've got the three floors, but we also have the backyard.
Oh yeah.
So like
nature.
Yeah. A city folk, so foreign. That seems like a foreign concept.
Real grass, yeah, on the ground?
So Adelaide has been comfortable to go outside when on a walk, mostly just to pee and mark that it's her sidewalk and not someone else's sidewalk.
Don't get confused.
But she really hasn't had this opportunity to use the yard and not be on the leash and kind of go off on her own. So I kind of missed when it happened, but Jess, you tell the story of it.
So Adelaide had her first poop outside.
Woo!
Woo! Go, Adelaide, go. Now, don't get me wrong. She's pooped on walks. She's pooped on the trail when she's off leash. She's pooped at the dog park, but she's never really pooped in our backyard as a result of us letting her out for a potty break.
It's always just been for play.
Yeah, it's just been that she happened to have to poop while she was outside. So I noticed Adelaide's famous poop dance. You can see it in one of our reels with the doggy bathroom. And Adelaide jumps up at the edges of the crate, but it's not even that. And let me know if you can relate to this, but she jumps on her hind legs, even when there's no pen and she's on the pee pad, and she starts like hopping up, and then she'll run off the pee pad and then run back to the pee pad, hop up, dance around, leave the pee pad, come back to the pee pad. It might take three or four rounds of her hopping up and down, running away, coming back until she's ready to poop. So I noticed the poop dance. I noticed her hopping around on the pee pad. There was no pen around. It was just the pad. And I thought, it's kind of warm out today. Let's let Adelaide in the backyard and see what happens. So I let her out the door. She went running out the door, so excited, and had a few zoomies. And then I noticed her sniffing in the leaves, the crunchy fall leaves on the ground at the back of our backyard, and she pooped. It was such a success, and I don't know if we'll be able to recreate this on a regular basis, but we've just never had the option to let her out of the backyard when she's doing her poop dance. So if we can time it, maybe we can actually start to train her for outdoors.
Yeah, like if we see her doing the poop dance and it's an option for us to get the back door open, not a bad idea.
I tried it the other day, but it was too cold. She was having none of it. So that was not a success. We are...
Right. Maybe this is a springtime venture.
I think so. But she did pee this morning outside.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan let her out and we had our first successful outdoor pee.
One last thing that has been a bit of a struggle, but Jess actually came up with a really great solution for, was that their dog toys have been all still packed up in boxes. We had a couple that got packed up right at the last minute because they were out on the floor, but the main ones, and especially ones that they can play with together, we had some small ones, but long rope toys and stuff, we, for the first week or more, had no access to because they were in boxes and we didn't think about it. So Jess decided to donate, so thoughtfully, her old socks that we found during the move. So these are socks that would have just gone right in the garbage. They were spent. Not like she would have donated them or anything. So it has become a wonderful pastime for them to go find the sock bag in the corner, pull out a sock, and then we have discovered the best sock is the sock that your sister has. So even if Phoebe is chewing on one, if Adelaide pulls a new one out of the bag, that's the one that she wants. So then they chase each other around, and socks are good and stretchy, but they have some strength to them, so they can really tug and play together with them. I've played with them as well. It's funny to get like a three-way tug going.
It's a tug toy.
Yeah.
It's a chase game, and it's also a puzzle game because they fish their heads into the bag mm-hmm. and pick out which sock is best.
Yeah. So one of our best discoveries in the past has been a water bottle tied up in a sock and them playing with that to make each individual sock a little more interesting. But if you've got tons of socks that they can keep going back to and play with, they make a great toy unto themselves. So good dog momming, Jess.
I'm so smart. They're actually playing with the sock water bottle toy right now. It always sounds destructive and
it does,
get nervous.
Yeah. I know it sounds like ripping something up.
Yeah. To sum up here, moving in a pandemic with a dog and a puppy, I just want to say that I'm very grateful for our support team that we have, our family, and also this Italian Greyhound community online, because we had so many people reaching out to us, wishing us well and hoping, like we said with Adelaide running into the hallway, hoping that no one would get lost. Sometimes when families move and you change an environment on a dog, there's the risk of them running away. There's a risk of them not really knowing their new surroundings and either acting strangely because of it or acting out or just feeling sad and getting lost. There's so many things that could happen. And I will say that we did have the advantage of Adelaide already knowing my parents' house. So other than our apartment, this is really her house. She spent a lot of time here when she was a puppy. My parents were very, very helpful with the raising of Adelaide. So with bringing Phoebe into the mix, Phoebe is a bit younger than my family remembers Adelaide on her first trip here and the first time she stayed for a while. But that just means that we're all kind of learning how to raise a puppy together from the very beginning. And Adelaide is able to teach Phoebe what to do in this house and help her to feel comfortable on every different level, whether there's carpet or hardwood or they're in the backyard together. I think that it would have been a different story if it were just Phoebe. I think Adelaide has been a great help with that. And we've had so many great resources and friends in our Iggy community that, again, like I said, reached out, helped us to feel comfortable, and helped to inspire us to make good decisions for our dogs during this sort of upheaval of their lives, as much as it is an upheaval of our lives. So while I wouldn't recommend moving during a pandemic with a dog and a puppy, I'm going to say if you have a good support system, if you can time it right, if you can make as many preparations as you can, it can go smoothly. But know that poop happens, folks.
And knowing your individual dog before game day or moving day is going to help. Like I say, if we had had Phoebe in a crate on her own on moving day, that would have made for a stressful trip.
I think as well that the moving day, we had thought about it. Like we said, we had a week and a half before Phoebe came home. But even before that, we were thinking about it. So we contemplated having the girls already at my parents' house and doing the move-in day after dropping them off. But with everything considered, we realized, you know what? We need to have the girls supervised at all times. And we weren't able to guarantee that if we brought them here early, because all of our focus would have been on the move. So for us personally, this was the best path. But know that we took lots of different scenarios into consideration. I hope that everyone is staying safe and staying healthy as much as possible. It's a very scary time in history, and we're thinking about all of you, hoping the best for everyone who's listening today.
Updates!
I cannot laugh. It's so funny. It's not funny. It's just we give each other this intense look in the eyes just to make sure we get it right. Phoebe had her second round of vaccinations.
So she's officially past 12 weeks old now, which is hard to believe, but she now needed the vaccinations.
Yeah, and I thought maybe she'd be sleepy after the vaccinations like she was after her first shots. No, that would be a negative. She was sleeping maybe a little longer in her puppy naps, but she was ready to play with Adelaide, and we had to keep fending Adelaide off just to give her a little room and space and time to rest.
We took just Phoebe to the vet. We left Adelaide back at the house, and Phoebe was displeased with that.
Yeah, so she was not happy about that.
Yeah, she whined the whole way there and the whole way back.
We just found a new vet that was recommended to us from a former breeder in the area. I mean, it's COVID times, so we can't go into the vet for the appointment. So we didn't get to chat while Phoebe was being examined or anything like that. But we were able to speak through the car door. I think it's going to be a good fit.
And yeah, they're going to split up her next vaccinations into two different appointments because she's so small. So they're at least taking that into consideration, which is nice to know.
Yeah. And anyone who knows Iggy's would want to make extra precautionary steps to make sure that they're okay for vaccinations and all those routine things that can sometimes be troublesome for Iggy's. So something we've been meaning to chat about is Phoebe's right eye. When we first got Phoebe, her eye was a little bit closed, her right eye. And it might be that it's too small, that the eyelashes are kind of curling under and in. So you have to kind of help her to fix it. But we just wanted to make sure everything was okay. And we have gotten some questions about the photos of her on Instagram and what's up with her eye and why is it squinting. So we do think it's a thing that she was born with. But we brought her to the vet and we asked again, new vet this time, and they said they don't think it's anything to worry about, but they are giving us eye drops. Now Phoebe's having a round of medicated eye drops, and it's been a couple days and I, like, fingers crossed, knock on wood, I think we're seeing improvements. Her eye looks a little rounder and you can kind of see more of the eyeball itself.
And I think her eye is tearing up a little less.
Yes, it was tearing up. That was also the thing. It wasn't mm-hmm. just that it was squinty, but she was kind of crying out of that eye.
Something may have been causing the squinty eye and the tearing up, or the squinty eye could be causing her to tear up.
Yeah, we don't really know.
No.
But if these eye drops fix it, that's great. First round now, and if it doesn't go away in a week, we will get a second round. They'll check her up on her next appointment.
Mm-hmm.
The girls are so sweet right now. They're just like cuddled up together on a blanket. We're sitting on the couch together. Little happy family squish.
In virtual news, we have been approved to have stickers on Instagram stories now. So you may have seen over the last few weeks, I think it's been since we recorded our last episode that we've gotten approved, but all of the stickers that we've made are now available to use. So we have our Cinnamon Bun and Tongue Out Tuesday stickers. We have some I'm All Ears stickers that are like the custom tote bag that we had. And then we even have made some with the Iggy Christmas cartoons that Jess made. So they're more up to date. We've got plans for more as soon as we get fully unpacked and moved in. And then obviously we have lots of things that we could potentially do because we have so many pictures of these dogs.
The possibilities are endless. And they continue to be endless as we continue to take photos.
Just a little housekeeping stuff as well. We have done a contest over the past week that included a water fountain from Institu and a custom cartoon drawn by Jess, half of the Iggy parents. We have yet to make the draw. We're going to be doing that tonight and announcing it tomorrow. So when you're listening to this, you may know, and we now in recording land don't know, but it's always fun to find out who's going to be getting our prizes. The custom cartoons have actually been super popular on our store. Probably our most popular winter item. And I just want to mention that because we have about a week left that our print-on-demand company will guarantee that you can get stuff by Christmas. So if you were going to order something, I would say do it now, because if it comes on Boxing Day, that's no good. Or December 26th.
Right. Boxing Day is only in Canada.
And
or is in England.
Great Britain too, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because we're still got those ties. Those sweet Commonwealth ties.
That queen on our money and stuff.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Iggy Parents.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we'd love if you left us a review. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts help us get discovered by new Iggy parents and dog lovers alike.
You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening or wherever podcasts are found.
Our new vlog is going up on YouTube featuring Phoebe's journey through puppyhood.
Don't miss out on every pup date by subscribing to our newsletter at theiggyparents.com/newsletter.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by The Iggy Parents Shop. If you're looking for another way to support what we do here, check out our merch at theiggyparents.com/shop.
And don't forget to connect with us on Instagram by sharing your thoughts with us and your friends. Tag at the Iggy Parents, at Iggy Adelaide, and now you can even reach us at Iggy Phoebe.
Bye for now from Ryan,
Jess,
Adelaide,
and Phoebe.